Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Joy 94.9.
And yes, you are listening to Freedom of Spirit on Joy 94.9. And we are coming to you live from the Freedom to Be meeting at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And we have thousands of people. Well, okay, not quite thousands, but we have lots of people here. Thank you all for coming along. Even you down the back. We'll just wave to you there.
Cheer loudly so we can hear you.
Now, if you want to send us a message, oh, I can hear them, on air at joy.org.au or 0427JOY949, you can send us a message about how much you love us.
Send us a message. It will make us feel good. It will give you bonus kudos points.
Okay, look, I'll just introduce our next guest, please.
Our next guests are both members of Freedom to Be's youth program. David survived ex-gay therapy. And Eric describes himself as a newish Christian, having converted to Christianity about 7 years ago. Welcome to the show, David and Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Now, David, you're an ex-gay therapy survivor. What was it like for you going through that and realising that you're actually still gay?
Went through times of depression, anxiety, thinking I was a failure. I was obviously putting myself under a lot of pressure because my faith was very important to me. But the same-sex attraction that I was trying to get rid of was not working, nothing. The counselling, I was with a number of ministries and it was just a constant cycle of failure and failing to please God and failing myself. So
how did you get involved in the ex-gay reparative therapy? How do you even get involved in one of these groups? I don't understand.
I became a Christian when I was 16 and I knew I've been gay since primary school age. But when I became a Christian, I just tried to sweep it under the carpet. As if it wasn't there and just try to get on with life. But it just got to a point where I couldn't cope anymore. Trying to be someone that I'm not and trying to suppress it. I just felt as if I was going to explode. So I contacted some various ministries after researching on the internet and got involved. I was with about three in Melbourne and I went interstate to attend our retreat to hopefully that might help.
So why did you have to attend multiple ones?
I was just desperate to change.
So the first one didn't work out for you?
I was doing them all at once.
Oh, you did them all at once.
He's covering all bases.
Covering all bases.
But very important question, David. Did you meet a boyfriend while you were there?
No, well, there was one particular group where there was a few there that I liked, actually. But apparently, we weren't allowed to give out numbers. It was all very... it was all very pretty much regimented, so you know.
Have you reconciled your sexuality and your spirituality now?
After many tears and at times a whole range of things I've considered taking my life, but I'm now at a point where I know that I'm accepted, that God created me just as I am, and I don't need to please anyone in my relationship with God. Is between me and God and no one else, and no one has the right to judge me.
Fabulous, yeah. Now, Eric, did you know you were gay when you were converted to Christianity 7 years ago, and how are you accepted within the Salvation Army?
I knew. I knew I was gay. I was a Buddhist before and then got converted to Christian about 7 years ago. I wasn't... with the Salvation Army, when I first became a Christian, I was with a very conservative church, and I was in Canberra at that time. And I moved to Melbourne because I got a new job and was looking for a church, and I found the Salvation Army. When I first got there, I was quite surprised because 90% of the church attenders there are from the homeless community. You know that it's welcoming when you see, when you know that you're not the only gay guy in the church. There are quite a few gay guys in there. So I thought, this is a church I want to be with.
And you're also heavily involved with the Freedom to Be Youth Program. Now, tell me a bit more about this, because I've come along to a couple of youth events and I had a great time. I'm not sure how long I can class myself as youth.
Yeah,
though.
Well, that's debatable. to tell you the truth, I can't classify myself as a youth because I'm 30-ish.
But so where's the cutoff? Where's the cutoff? We need to know. This is very important stuff.
The good thing about Freedom to Be a Youth Group is from 18 to 30-ish. So
I like the flexible cutoff.
So it's 50, 30-ish.
And what kind of stuff do you get up to? What do you do?
We do quite a lot of things.
A whole range of things, from dinners to activities, going out, events. So
yeah, I think it's a safe space for the youth coming together and really share the stories together. It doesn't matter you have to be a Christian or not a Christian, or you may be an ex-Christian, but it's a space for us to share and journey together.
Yeah. Now, some of the regular Freedom to Be meetings, which happen on the Friday night, are they're quite formal. And I noticed when I came on to the youth night, it was very informal and it was just fantastic. Do you encourage conversations around sexuality and your faith in that space, or is it really just about having a social outing and a good time?
A bit of both. Socialising and just nice and relaxed environment, but always up for discussing our journeys and safe place to confide. And
we had different sort of activities and we tried to make it new each time. We did bowling once and then laser gun once.
Yeah. And do you have to come along to the Freedom to Be regular meeting before you can come along to the youth thing, or like could I just tag along
no,
to the youth activities?
No, everyone can be there. And, you know, we have people who are Buddhists came along to to our youth group.
No way.
I'll get over it, Andrew.
We had and it all works out fine, doesn't it? Yes?
Yep.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming and joining us for Freedom of Spirit. You're listening to Freedom of Spirit on Joy 94.9.
Live from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, this is Freedom of Spirit, a spirituality and sexuality forum.
Thanks to funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation, presented by Freedom to Be and the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
I have a few friends that go to the ones in Brisbane and Sydney.
Through a different conversation and a group called Secret Men's Business.
Through Anthony Ben Brown.
One of my idiot friends found them, and when we were talking, he told me about it. I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So I went along, and I really liked it. Found, like, a really nice community there, so I kept going.
Joy 94.9.
Travelling from Gippsland to join us tonight is Rod, who is gay, but has only told a few of his close friends about his sexuality. His closest friend and strongest supporter is his daughter, Rachel. Welcome to the show, Rod and Rachel.
Thank you.
Hello.
I've always been told I've got the perfect face for radio.
You do. Beautiful. So, Rod, tell us, what's it like being gay in Gippsland?
Look, anecdotally, it's harder to be gay in the country. Men are men and women are women. And it's, isn't that, Rachel?
Pretty close-minded, I'd say.
Yeah, it's harder.
And is that in the community and in the church?
I'd say so, absolutely. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So how long ago did you come out?
Well, I'm still in the process of doing that. I haven't really come out, although I'd like all my relationships to be authentic. So anyone that I've got a good relationship with, I've told. But I haven't gone running down any main streets with rainbow flags and rainbow underwear or anything.
Is there not a gay pride in Gippsland? No.
No.
What about rainbow Ugg boots?
If Rachel and I went here, we'd be at the local pub doing Christian outreach, but you wouldn't dare
all blokey.
Mention. Very blokey. Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how transparent I am, so I try to, you know, put it on a bit and, yeah, mate, yeah, right, with my beer and everything. But I think most of the people that I talk to at the pub each Friday night would freak out if they knew that I was gay. You wouldn't mention it.
So are you involved in a church down in Gippsland?
Yeah.
And can we ask what that church is?
We're in the Church of Christ. It was very awkward. I told the ministers after a while that I was gay, and they were all right with it, if you know what I mean. We're all right with it. But then there came a point where a few people had found out and were talking about me, and they told me that and wouldn't tell me who they were. And I found it very hard to lead worship, lead youth group, do all sorts of things. I was very involved as a deacon, to not know when I looked into the crowd who was talking about me and who wasn't. I told them I thought it was unfair, but they wouldn't. So I'd already started my own. I was pastoring a church anyway, separately, so I just let that take over.
How did your so-called close friends react? Did their behaviour change towards you when you...
No, but I don't have a single close friend who thinks that it's okay to be gay and sexually active.
Okay.
So everyone that I've told has been like, oh, okay, because they like me as a person and I haven't changed just because they found that out about me. But, you know, it's still a sin to be gay and it's, you know, it'd be a sin to have sex with anyone. But I'm still an okay person, so the relationships are there, but only on a certain level.
Rachel, how did you find out that your dad was gay?
When I was about 16, I think it was, Dad sort of came out to me at the dining room table. I was like, righto. I was actually seeing a counsellor at the time, and then the next appointment I had, Dad had talked to her, and that was like some big issue apparently, and I was like, okay. And she just gave me all these pamphlets, so I'm like, I don't really think this is a big problem. I have my own shit to deal with. I'm just like, Dad, it's okay.
Beautifully put. And that puts everything into proportion, does it not? Rachel, have you got siblings? Have you got brothers and sisters? How did they react to your dad's news?
I have one sister and two brothers. Similar to me, I think. I don't think it's an issue. We all love Dad for who he is, and I think finding out that he's gay doesn't really change anything about how we perceive him or who he is. I think it just increases the level of trust in our relationship, that he's able to share more of himself with us, and that's continued to grow.
Isn't she gorgeous?
She's she is gorgeous.
She's my best friend.
I love you.
Are you the oldest?
Yeah.
You are the oldest. So, Rod, without prying too much, when you realised that you were gay, were you still married to your wife?
Yeah, I've kind of known all along and been in denial. Even before I knew the Lord, I was afraid of being gay. Like, all through school, like, the big insult was, you homo. So you have to push, sort of compartmentalise it. And then I became a Christian, so that made it doubly... Like, it was bad to be gay anyway, but to be a Christian and gay, that was worse. And then I got married, so I was really locked in a prison where who you really are is compartmentalised. But it keeps finding, wants to get out. It keeps, so you're living this double life, a secret life. You're scared all the time. You're scared of discovery. Yeah. You're scared that if who you really are came out, everything about you would just crumble. Yeah. And what's hard about that in churches is that if people find out you're gay, all the good things you've done in youth group and Sunday school and worship leading suddenly go to shit. Oh, sorry.
You're allowed to say that on Joy.
Not as accepted as being of the Spirit, because you were this sneaky, underhanded, dirty, horrible person, lower than a pregnant ant.
Did all of this make you reevaluate the sincerity of some of those friendships around you?
Yes, it did. However, people in the churches that I know are caught up in that culture and they're sincere in it. So I don't judge them for trying to grapple with what they believe to be truth. I was in that place myself, where I would be just as judgmental about myself and everyone in this room.
Yeah.
It's only by the grace of God that I have come to a place that's different from that.
So are you still in ministry with the Church of Christ?
Well, no. For the last 5 years, I've been ministering a church in a shed. For rough people that don't fit into church. It's a very blokey environment, funnily enough. We use street language and most of the people drink beer and we have services that go for 4 or 5 hours.
That sounds fun. Can we come?
Yes, because it's just gone into hiatus. So many people have gone off to uni and gone off in relationships. It's kind of come to nothing. So I'm in this weird hiatus-y place.
Quarter shift.
Yeah.
Priestie, it's all kicking off in Gippsland. We need to go.
I know.
Come down. Hey, yeah.
I was met a woman from Gippsland who was a minister who looked at me very seriously and said, "Are you a practicing homosexual?" And I said, "No, I'm very good at it. I don't need to practice." So that was my experience with Church Christ ministers.
Generally, that's the closest you'll get to acceptance. As long as you're gay but keeping it under a rock and not doing anything with your genitals, you'll be fine.
Oh, I don't know if you can mention genitals. Oh, right. Oh, okay.
I want to come back to Rachel, because Rachel, your body language, your attitude is, of course, so lovely and so refreshing. And the way you've embraced your dad, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a generational thing?
I hope so, because if the world doesn't change, I'll cry. So I'm hoping that my generation is our... I'm thinking my kids will probably be the next generation that will really accept this community, and that it will be a non-issue, that you won't have to hide the fact that you're gay or lesbian or transgender or whatever it is.
And yeah.
I think being at uni too, the people there are more open-minded and you're challenged by different ways of thinking, and so I'm hoping that... that bleeds into the community.
Fantastic. Well, Rod and Rachel, it's been absolutely delightful to talk with you. Thank you for coming on the show. This is a special live edition of Freedom of Spirit on Joy 94.9.
Live from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, this is Freedom of Spirit, a spirituality and sexuality forum.
Thanks to funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation, presented by Freedom to Be and the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
What do you like the best about Freedom to Be?
It doesn't matter what part of the journey you're at, whether you're ready to go back to church, whether you're struggling, there's always an ear there for you, there's no judgment.
Well, I think when you go to Freedom to Be, you can just be real. So you don't have to worry about pretending to be like, you know, whatever. You can just be who you are.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Freedom of Spirit on Joy 94.9. If you'd like to join in the conversation, please send us an email onair@joy.org.au or send us a text message 0427-JOY949. David has done just that, and he sent in saying, "I believe the church is the people, not the building. Thanks for a very interesting program. It's nice to hear such real stories and hear of the struggles forward." Thanks for your words, David. Anthony Van Brown has texted us in as well. He says, "I want to say something profound, and I'm still working on it." So thanks, David. And we've also had a quick email in from Sarah from Noble Park. She says, "I don't know whether I can ever forgive the Catholic Church for what they did to me in the homes that I was in, because they still deny that. Thanks very much for your feedback, Sarah."
Great. Well, thank you very much. Keep the SMSs and emails coming in. It's great to hear from you and know that everyone's listening to our very special live edition of Spirit of Freedom, delivered with Freedom to Be and Spirit Lounge, our usual slot being a Tuesday night from 8 until 9 on Joy 94.9. Now, our next guest is with us. She is a minister at St Martin's Community Church, as well as being a wife and a mother. She's worked as a socio-analyst and is interested in groups and the capacity we have for transformation. She's in the middle of writing her PhD about hope as a present-day reality. Welcome, Kath McKinney.
Hi.
I'm not really in the middle of it. You are one busy lady. A little bit. Can I first of all ask you about St Martin's? Now, is St Martin's a church that welcomes the LGBTI community, and has that always been the case, or has that evolved?
St Martin's is a community that has evolved really habitually by welcoming those on the margins. And the God Squad motorbike club are attached to our church. And really, historically, it's been a matter of finding those that are not welcome and then finding a way to make them welcome in our church. And in the last few years, it's become obvious to quite a few of us that the LGBT community has not been invited. And our theology is that actually we don't do the inviting, but we have habits of closing doors on people. So our theology is a door wedge. We keep the door open. And it's a beautiful, inclusive community that works hard. Not everyone's agreeing on everything most of the time, but we work hard to be kind and generous, which means
sounds
sometimes we're a bit mean, and but we work hard at it.
Now, you're writing about the capacity for transformation. Do you think our church communities can actually transform?
Every minute of every day, and here we are. I do. Can I tell you a story that will maybe help me illustrate my point?
Please do.
There's a member of our community. I won't name her. I'll call her Sally. She's a very, very small woman, and when you see her face, you can see she's had a really hard life. And a few years ago, another woman died in our community, and before she died, she inherited $1 million. I'm not joking. There was cash everywhere. She was really, really skinny, and she bought all these really beautiful clothes. So I had the job of tidying the house out, and I was trying to jam these clothes on, and they went nipple to nipple, and that was just about it. It was tragic. And they were all labeled and beautiful and special and really, really, really beautiful, expensive clothes.
Designer
labels.
Anyway,
designer, the whole works. If I could mention a few, I will. But anyway, I sadly packed them all up feeling just quite, you know, overwhelmed by my weight. And you can see I'm not that big. But nothing fitted me, I'm telling you. I packed them up in the church, and the next day, Sally was at church, and she's really, really, really tiny. And she's actually tiny because life has been very cruel to her. But I looked at Sally, and I looked at the clothes, and I just said to her, mate, do you want some really nice clothes? And she's like, yeah. And we went outside, and she jammed them on layer after layer. Beautiful jeans and lovely shoes, and just, oh, it makes me cry thinking about what didn't fit me. But she looked at me mid-layer, and she said to me, Kath, how much am I worth? And I realized, you know, she was talking on one level about the clothes, and it was about $2,500 worth of clothing. But essentially, she wasn't asking me that. There's another question in there. The fact that she could even voice that her worth was questionable was a scandal. Sally is fearfully and wonderfully made and precious, and that she doesn't know that is a scandal. And for any person in our world not to know that, regardless of their sexuality, their race, their gender, not to look in the mirror and know that they're fearfully and wonderfully made by God who adores all of who they are, I think that's a scandal that I want to work hard to speak into. And that's what our little church at St. Martin's, as do many other communities in Melbourne, really take as a mandate of hope. That in the here and now, we can look to one another and we can say, you are loved and you are beautiful, and I will work to be in connection with you. And while that sounds a bit like a sort of, it almost sounds a bit wet, I think it's radical. I think kindness and generosity are radical when we consider them in the light of the other.
Mm-hmm. That is a beautiful story.
She's a beautiful woman, Sally. And I have learnt more about the capacity for hope from this person who looks completely ravaged by life than I have from anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, to answer your question, I think it's possible.
And we're talking about the power of groups and having the capacity to change.
Yeah.
And when a group of people get together with something in common, that is very powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got one voice.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly you've got a group here with a hugely open mind. Are they always prepared to listen to everyone else, or is there a lot of infighting that goes on?
Well, you see, the fantasy is we have one voice, but there are many voices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of the trick is to understand that things that we find difficult in ourselves, we're going to try and export onto somebody else. And if they receive them, fantastic. So a very, very basic notion of projections. You know, if I can hurl something on you and you can take it from me, it becomes your issue, not mine. So what we really try and do, very gently and very consistently, is get people to examine what's going on in their heads and their hearts and their bodies in the context of who they are, who their neighbour is, and what their understanding of God is.
Hmm.
Because it's never just about me or you or God. It's about the connected nature of all those elements coming together.
So what inspired you to write this PhD? I mean, you're busy enough, aren't you?
My mum.
And?
My mum. Well, she's been dead a long time now, my mum, but she was just so kind and so radical and so able to bring people in around a table and speak and feed love. So I've been convinced by my mother.
So this is in her honour. Have you dedicated the PhD to her? I mean, I hope it is going to become a book one day.
When I've written it, I might dedicate. I've got to write it yet. But it's actually a bit like an honourable discharge. I go to the library with a pack of other lovely people that write, and it feels like a treat. Now, but Kath, I need the community to balance it.
Please stay with us. We will be having you as a guest host on Freedom of Spirit. You're on Joy 94.9.
Live from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, this is Freedom of Spirit, a spirituality and sexuality forum.
Thanks to funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation, presented by Freedom to Be and the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
I think it's a group that you can really discuss things that you can't discuss in church. People are open about themselves. There's no judgmental.
It's a group where I can reconcile my sexuality, I suppose, in some ways, with faith that I had previously.
Joy 94.9.
Hey, good evening. You are on Freedom of Spirit on Joy 94.9. Now, for this last segment, we have four ministers, three of who are straight. So guess the not straight one. You can't see if you're listening to this program. Okay, we have Kath, who's going to assist me in this interview. You ready for this, Kath?
You made some assumptions about my sexuality.
I did, but I was told. But we're going to interview two straight men, aren't we?
Beautiful.
Who have made it their mission to walk with the LGBTI community through issues of religion, faith and God. Matt Glover is a minister with the Baptist Church in Australia, and Roland Croucher, the National Chaplain of Freedom to Be. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thank you.
Now, Matt, you've made some incredible sacrifices in your support of GLBTI people. Tell us as much as you can, and I realise you can't talk about everything that happened. What happened? And most of all, we want to know why would you do it?
Sure. Look, what happened was because of my 15-year journey with the gay community and the number of gay and lesbian friends that I had, the number of gay people that were coming to my church, and I guess ultimately my support for marriage equality, what happened was that the church that I was serving in at the time basically voted for me to be removed as senior pastor of that church. They also realised that it was actually illegal to do that because you can't be removed from a position for an opinion that you have, but they made it impossible for us to stay, so ultimately I resigned.
And do you know what's happened to those people that were going to your church and were accepted there?
I know the stories of some of them. Others I don't know. I do know that there were some that this was almost their last resort in terms of church. And when things that happened to me happened, they've just drifted away from it because it's not safe.
Matt, can you talk a little bit about whether or not there's any hope possible in a situation like that?
Look, I think there's hope is possible, but it's hard to see. In a situation like that, fear takes over, lies take over. There were all sorts of horrible things said about people that I cared for quite deeply. And then eventually really horrible things were being said about me as well by people that I thought were friends, close friends. It was a very painful experience, and it's taken us a while to work through that. There's still a lot of pain there. And there were times where there felt like there was no hope at all. But, you know, the people that do care for us genuinely have walked with us and they've shown us hope.
Where does it leave you in regards to your call to ministry?
Look, I reckon in the end I've been really fortunate because now I've established a counselling practice that serves the gay and lesbian community here in Melbourne and also work in palliative care, counselling in palliative care with people that are dying. And I think I get to do all the things that were the best parts of being a pastor without all the really horrible things like, you know, elders meetings and this and that and all the other stuff.
Amen to that.
Yeah. So in a sense, you know, that call to minister and to pastor the gay community in particular is still there, and I feel I can do it now with far less hindrance than before.
And you also got an incredible amount of support from the GLBTI community.
I did. It was incredibly humbling, particularly in January of this year. There was a benefit held for me at one of the gay bars here in Melbourne, and it was just an incredible experience. My whole family were there. Lots of friends and family were there, and, of course, lots of representatives from the gay and lesbian community were there as well. It was just incredible, just a really humbling experience.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because my association with that celebration that was actually quite wild is...
That was not my fault.
Not your fault, and your mum and dad were gorgeous. It's a question that I'd like to ask Roland. Now, Roland, dear colleague and friend, in the 70s, apart from wearing flares and colourful shirts, you were a colleague of Fred Niles. And for those of you that don't know Fred Niles, he's infamous for his non-inclusive approach to this whole issue. So, I mean, he speaks very, very strongly against inclusion, yet he was your colleague.
I was conservative, evangelical, right, capital R, dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, ticked all the boxes. I was a conservative evangelical who believed that homosexuality was something that you could change, and if you think you can't change it, don't practice it. And so I was the Victorian spokesperson. This I'm coming out on this now. I was the Victorian spokesperson for the Festival of Light in the media.
Can you just tell us a little bit about what the Festival of Light is? Because I don't think it's what we think it is. Not a happy place.
Festival of Light began in Britain as a kind of Christian or conservative Christian reaction to liberalism and to all the naughty things that people do who don't behave themselves.
So, Roland, tell us how you came from being one of Fred Niles' friends, which I'm sure you don't want to be now, but to suddenly be a part of Freedom to Be.
Well, let me tell you a story. The ABC asked me to come in and talk to two women who were part of the Prostitutes Collective, and there was a nice man called Peter Couchman, who some of you older people might remember. And these two women, let me say, were dressed to be noticed, and I was the straight kind of Christian, conservative, evangelical spokesperson for this thing. And in the middle of the interview, and I have no idea what triggered this, one of the women said, "Why do you Christians hate us?" And I'm not usually lost for words, but about the first time in years, I didn't know what to say. I said, "What makes you..." And when you don't know the answer to a question, you ask another one, of course. I said, "What makes you say that?" Well, she said, "We only feel negative vibes from people like you. You don't approve of our behaviour. We feel you don't approve of us. And we don't feel loved." And I had to say to her, "I'm sorry, but if you don't feel loved, we're not representing Jesus, who loves anybody and everybody. We're not representing him very well, and I'm sorry about that." That was the beginning of a journey towards where I am now.
So just very quickly, fundamentally, what changed in your behaviour towards the other?
I started listening to people's stories as a pastor at Blackburn Baptist Church. We had a lot of people there, and I heard stories from gay people. And in a counselling practice now, I'm listening to gays coming out to me. Their pastors and their parents send them to me, you know, so they can talk about it. One of my clients has given me permission to tell you that he's had 1,000 anonymous sexual liaisons. A third of them are unprotected. And I think to myself, why have we condemned this man to that kind of lifestyle because we don't give him the opportunity to have a committed lifestyle, a committed marriage, committed relationship with someone he loves? That's awful.
Matt, Roland, Cathy, thank you so much for being on our special Freedom of Spirit, and you are on Joy 94.9.
Live from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, this is Freedom of Spirit, a spirituality and sexuality forum.
Thanks to funding from the Community Broadcasting Foundation, presented by Freedom to Be and the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
And you have been listening to a very special edition of Spirit Lounge's Freedom of Spirit. We've been coming to you live tonight from the Freedom to Be meeting. If you'd like to know more about Freedom to Be, please do visit their website. It's freedomtobe.org, and that's freedom, the number two, the letter B, .org. Thank you so much to all of our very, very special guests tonight. It's not everyone who wants to share their story, but we've loved listening to you. Michelle and Linda, John, David, Sarah, another David, Eric and Rod, and of course our amazing Freedom to Be audience.
Thanks also to the church leaders, Kath, Roland and Matt, for being willing to be part of this conversation. Thanks to our producer, Dean, and the Joy Tech team, Matt, Arvi, Michael, David and Callum. Now, this hasn't been your normal Friday night on Joy, but it's really shown how diverse our community really is. Don't forget that every Tuesday night we do this from 8 till 9.
We do.
Every Tuesday night you can tune in to listen to The Priest, The Pom and The Poof on The Spirit Lounge.
Now, our final track that we're going to play is a prayer for each of you here tonight and also for our listeners. It's a hope that we have that through this program and through organisations like Freedom to Be, you will be set free to be who you were created to be. And that track is Michael W. Smith with Amazing Grace. But before we hear that track, I want to also thank the Victorian AIDS Council for allowing us to use this venue. And to the Community Broadcast Foundation for providing the funding. So we're going to go out with Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone, and it's good night from the priest.
And the pom.
And the poof.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.